So, hey, Rebecca.
Wait, no, you gotta, there's gotta be like a, you gotta give me space to edit, like, so you can't.
No, you can't have any space.
Hey friends, just a quick break to tell you about something exciting happening at Dare to Believe, and that is we are getting ready for the upcoming year of Emerge Transformation School. Emerge Transformation School is a 9-month school dedicated to seeing you walk in the destiny that you were created for. We do this practically with classroom teaching, with activations, opportunities for you to try, to even fail, through community, through supplemental reading, through Bible study. This is the place if you want to grow in your identity in Christ, walking in your destiny, living in the confidence of a good and loving God that we have, and being naturally supernatural in your everyday life, then this is the place for you. If it's brand new to you, it's a safe environment to learn, to get biblical instruction, and to practice. And if it's something that you're really familiar with, then it's a great place to come and be refreshed and to be in an environment that encourages you for more. So Emerge meets on Monday nights, and it meets here in Burnsville. But if you're interested and you have a group of friends that are interested, we could actually set you up as a satellite campus and live stream to your location. That's something we can talk to you about. The deadline for applying is August 31st. So I encourage you, if you're hungry for the more of God, to go after it. And this is a great opportunity to do so. So go ahead, go to dare2believe.info for more information. And I look forward to seeing you here this fall at Emerge Transformation School.
So hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
Let's talk about some more dreams.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you had any dreams lately that you want to talk about?
No, but my brother did.
All right. So you want to tell me your brother's dream?
Absolutely. And he gave me permission to share this.
Okay.
So I'm not breaking confidence. He had this dream just a couple nights ago. And in the dream, he was by our parents' house. In real life, there's an elementary school near our parents' house. And he was walking, and there was this big hill that's not there in real life, but he was walking down the hill to meet a group of people that he thinks maybe his wife was a part of, but it was church people. He doesn't know who, but he knew they were churchy people. And he was going to meet them by the school, and he walks by this very weird, not good feeling occult ritual that's happening, some sort of new age thing. This guy's in this robe, and there's a man that's being dedicated he thinks it's a burial. He thinks his man's dead. He finds out that he's not, but he thinks he's dead. Being dedicated, like returned to the earth. There's Mother Earth, we're returning to you. And this man is face down, like he's dead, and then he like makes his agreement and stands up. My brother's watching this, being like, this is super weird. This doesn't feel good. What is going on? And he, at this point, he's with a group of church people, and he kind of keeps back, and he's looking back, and this man who has now made this vow is separated from his family's really excited for him. They're excited because he's come back to him, but he's sad. He wants to go back and be with the earth or whatever, you know, just kind of a cult thing. And my brother's watching this like, this is really bad. And that finishes, their little thing finishes, and the man walks up to the head man now, sorry, like the leader of the occult thing, walks up to my brother and says, I love you, man, and gives him a big hug. And my brother is like, well, this is so weird. And he prays in the dream. He prays. He goes, what do I do? And he heard the Lord say, bless him. So he starts blessing the man. And the man just collapses weeping. He's like overwhelmed by it. And he's just weeping. And he just is just crying. So now the second in command comes up to my brother. He's looking at the first, who's now kind of dethroned, if you will. And the second in command comes up to my brother and does the same thing, gives him a big hug and says, I love you, man. And my brother's like, well, I know what to do. I'm just going to bless him. So he starts blessing him. Instead of collapsing and weeping, this man goes into a full-on like karate move or like wrestling move and grabs onto his left leg and is going to break his leg. He's holding on to his leg really tight. So my brother has to call for some of the church friends to come over and help him. And he gets free of this guy.
That was his dream. That's an interesting dream.
That's an interesting dream. He called me like, I had a weird dream
last night.
Did he talk
about the light in the dream?
He said it was normal.
Normal daylight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me tell you the dream back. So he's up on a hill, mm-hmm. about by your parents' house, the hill that doesn't really exist there, but it. So the house where he grew up, he's out near that house, and he's on a hill that isn't there, and he's coming down the hill,
right,
to
towards
join
the school.
Church towards the school. Okay, to join some church people, and on his way to join the church people, he sees an occult ceremony taking place, and this guy is face down, being told to return to the earth. He's thinks he's dead, but it turns out he's not actually dead. He's just being kind of ritualized. And he doesn't like it, but he keeps going and he joins the church people. And so he's with the church people. He kind of is watching where the occult stuff was because he can still see them. And the head guy comes over to him and says, "Hey, man," and he gives him a big hug, "love you," right? Mm-hmm. And he asks the Lord, "What should I do?" And the Lord says, "Just give him a hug." Or before he hugs him, right?
No, the man's hugging him.
But he asked the Lord what he should do, and he said, just hug him.
Oh, you said bless him.
Bless him. Right. Okay, that's important. So he says, bless him. And so he blesses him, and the guy falls down in a heap of tears. And then the second in command comes, and he says the same thing. "I love you, man," and he's going to give him a hug. And he says, "Oh, I know what to do." So he doesn't ask the Lord the second time. And this guy, instead of collapsing in tears, goes into a karate move and is starting to break his left leg.
Yeah.
He's locked onto his left leg. He has to call people to him to help from the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, well, he's being called into a time that's a generational calling on your family line, which he walks in. And he has a time, they're leading him into a season where he's going down. So going down, any direction you're going is a spiritual thing. So he's going down in the spirit. So he's able to be up here in this high place with the Lord, but he's got to come down to a lower place actually to interact with some of the people in his... Are there people he recognized or he just knows they're church people?
I don't think he recognized them. He just knew that they're...
So with the body of Christ, right. Probably. So where he's at isn't necessarily the same place all these people in the body of Christ are in. So he's got to go kind of down from more of a heavenly perspective sometimes. He's got to go down to be in relationship with these people. And he will encounter people who have some ungodly spiritual ties, which mm-hmm. is this group of people who are doing this. And it's got to do with Mother Earth. It's got to do with all that kind of thing. So what he sensed there that he knew was not good, it's not of God. But he will encounter that. He will be there's coming a time when he'll have a greater awareness of that. And the Lord is warning him that he has great authority to deal with this, but he needs to ask the Lord what to do. Every situation is not going to have the same response from him. So he needs to ask the Lord every single time. Because what he does once that will have incredible breakthrough for the kingdom, the next time will cause someone to come after his calling. Again, his left side. Mm-hmm. So what he's created to do, what he walks in, so his legs, what he walks in, and what he's created to walk in, the enemy's going to have access to come right after that if he doesn't talk to the Lord first. So it's a warning. It's a calling. He's got a calling to minister to the body of Christ and to bring in the body of Christ to help him. Mm-hmm. But his calling will bring him to, he has to know when he's with the Lord in a high place. And sometimes to relate with the body of Christ, he's going to not have to be in that. He's still with the Lord, but he's not in that high place. Does that make sense? It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's what he's created to do. He's in the family house, near the family house, and he's got a calling to deal with some ungodly people. And some of those people who are in witchcraft are people who didn't know how to connect with the Lord in supernatural things.
Right.
I've encountered a lot of those people, that they really have a call and a gift from the Lord, but the church has told them supernatural things don't happen. So they went, and the only place they found the ability to operate in supernatural things was in the occult, which is really sad.
Yeah.
Because the church was misguided in those things.
Right.
And, but it doesn't mean that, the big warning is as he walks this out, because he's going to go deeper into these things of the Lord that he's called to do, he needs to check with the Lord every single time. So what do I do in this situation?
Right.
Yeah, so we declare a blessing over him that he would walk in the great fullness of all he was created to do, that the family line will continue with power and with authority, and will have great breakthroughs for the kingdom and for God's glory, and that there will be protection and wisdom in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's a good dream.
Yeah, it is a good dream.
Cool.
Even though it felt scary and disturbing to him.
Well, you know, and we do. There's a lot going on around us that's not of God. That, and people are looking for spiritual things.
That's right.
People are hungry for spiritual, what the true spirituality, and we're being misled in many different ways in our world. So he's got a calling to be able to call people back into truth.
Right. And I mean, 2020 more than ever, I think people are trying to find something outside of themselves, realizing that they can't fix this.
Right.
We don't have the ability to fix everything that's broken in our world.
Right.
Or even to protect ourselves. We don't have that ability.
Yeah, but they're looking for... I remember once I was with John Paul Jackson, and we were with a person who really was in ungodly things. And he grew up in the church, and he had gotten way off track. And he said, you know, I had these gifts all along, and my church told me, a Christian church told me that I had, this was not of God.
Right.
These supernatural things that were going on were not of God, and I need to just stop. And his voice was very creepy at the time. He said, I went looking for spiritual power, and I found it. And he just said, sounded evil as he said that. And John Paul Jackson, with confidence and with love and actual compassion, said, until you've created with the God who created the universe, you haven't connected with real spiritual power.
And when until you have connected with
the God who created the universe, and when you have connected with him, you'll know true spiritual power.
Mm.
And that was the end of the conversation. But that man privately then sought out, this was in a public gathering, a semi-public gathering. It wasn't full open to the public, but some of the, you know, his trainers and things were there. And that man sought out John Paul Jackson and continued the conversation because he said, a Christian has never talked to me, disagreed with me, but did it respectfully. That's never happened to me before.
Yeah.
And this man was probably 35, 36 years old at the time, the one who'd gotten off track.
Right.
So just that ability to have a conversation with someone who's been misled in spiritual things is very important. But you need to ask God every single time,
that's right,
what do I do with this situation?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. That's really good. And I think that's highlighting something that's so big these days is learning how to disagree with honor, how to speak.
Yes.
We don't need to agree. Now, in this situation, it's pretty clear cut, but there's a lot of stuff happening in our world, especially here in the U.S., where there's these firm lines that are drawn and you have to say this side or that side. And a lot of times, neither are the kingdom. We don't have to agree. You give me a look. You mean to not go down this path?
No, I think that's true. And what I sense is we don't have to defend God. He's very capable of defending himself. What we're called to do is agree with him and partner with him. But he's quite capable of defending himself. And, you know, we feel like, and we need to honor the Lord above all things. But we don't have to defend him to the world.
That's such a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think in that defense we get a little off track and...
Well, it becomes very personal, and I take it on myself to defend him, and then it becomes very emotional, and then I'm not very rational. It's like I start saying and doing things that's it's like the Lord must just shake his head. But it's like a little child, you know, that is having a temper tantrum or getting all worked up about something. You're going, seriously, you're going to get all worked up about that? I mean, I feel like that's the way I can behave if I lose track of, if I take it on myself to defend God.
Yeah.
But partnering with God is a whole different thing, and learning how to do that is important in this season. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to hear a strange dream?
Well, I feel like we just did, but let's go.
Another strange. Well, dreams are all kind of strange.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so this dreamer has been having a recurring dream. And again, a recurring dream means it's a topic that the Lord is trying to get your attention about, and it is very important.
He's emphasizing, just like if we were in conversation, I kept bringing up the same point.
Right.
There's something there that needs to be addressed.
So this person said, I've had the same dream the past few nights, though normally I literally pull myself out of the dream, but now I'm getting more fight back. It starts the same, and the ending is always different. I'm in a minivan away from everyone. The minivan is the one that was falling apart on Mount Avenue. So I don't know what that means, but It's a minivan. He's in a minivan. It's falling apart. It's on Mount Avenue. Everyone is over at a festival or a circus. I don't know exactly what's going on, and I never make it over there. So it's just me and the other cars. Then someone comes up and we talk. I can never remember the whole conversation. Then the trees start moving in and beating on the car. So it gets weird. I mean, trees. Yeah, that's why we have to understand dreams are metaphorical.
Right.
A tree beating a car. Okay.
Or, yeah.
And I get out and I start to run. The person with me doesn't seem to care if the tree is beating the van or they seem to get hurt at all. Then the trees come for me as the person steps out and walks towards me. I start running then. I usually pull myself out. I don't know how to describe it. Like I'm falling in real life or something like that. I don't know. But I pull myself out of the dream and I wake up. Though the dream changes sometimes and has every night for the last week. And tonight there was darkness coming from the person. And when I went to pull myself out, the person rushed over and grabbed my feet. Then it felt like I was getting pulled on, like it was a tug of war. The trees were moving in and pulling hard. I pulled harder on myself to get out of the dream because someone told me, if you die in a dream, you die in real life. That's not true. If you die in a dream, many times you're dying to self. And if you see yourself dead, you're not going to die in a dream. So don't let fear direct you in a dream.
That's something I've heard too, though. That's a common statement.
Yeah. So I'm pulling on myself to get out of the dream, and I start getting my spine hurt. My legs are sore. But when I do get out, it was very real for me. Lots of trees continue to happen. She said, what's going on? I'm not sleeping tonight because I've had the same dream each night for 8 days straight. Well, the Lord is, this is a really a serious condition situation. The Lord is trying to get your attention. And in the dream, the strong's emotion are that I'm alone and then I'm content with talking to the person. And that person changes from male to female. And then there's fear. And only the details are different every night. So really, you know, this is a warning dream and it's nighttime.
I'll say.
In the dream. So the Lord's letting you see what the enemy's doing and it's serious and you need to attend to what the Lord's doing, get some spiritual help. And so there is something going on. It's a festival or a circus. It's kind of like a fun thing. But you have a minivan, so that is your life. It's your car, but it's not in good shape. And the shape of your vehicle, which what moves you forward in life, not being in good shape, is a warning. So spiritually, you're not in real good shape. So the Lord's giving you a warning to deal with some stuff in your life, to get stronger with Him. You have felt isolated from the good things of life or the body of Christ. Everybody else is having a party. Everybody else is at a festival or a circus in the world, and you're not there.
Yeah, and you're feeling alone.
Yeah, feeling all alone. And that makes you vulnerable to being deceived by the enemy who comes, this person who comes to you. You don't know them, and they change, so it's not... It's a spiritual being. It's never not male or female. It's just a spiritual being. So the spiritual being causes leaders to come and attack you. Leaders are the trees. So trees, leadership, some leaders, which are may or may not be godly leaders, but their leaders are coming and they're going to attack you because of what the enemy is doing. The enemy is targeting you, isolating you, or capitalizing on your isolation to cause you to come be spiritually vulnerable to this leadership attack. But the solution is always... And you being able to pull yourself out of the dream is a real soul-based thing. You have a strong soul, but your soul cannot save you from this. This is a spiritual issue. So I encourage this dreamer to go to get a pastoral care, to have a wise counsel from a Christian leader who can help you with these spiritual things, who can pray with you and get you to out of this place of isolation, get some restoration to what leads you forward in life. And the thing that's important about your leadership gift, I say to this dreamer, is that it's a minivan. It's not a little car. It's not a motorcycle. So you're called to lead a group of people.
Right.
But you aren't going to be able to lead them if you're isolated,
no.
If you're in bad shape, and if you're being attacked by the enemy the way you are. So your soul's not going to be able to do this for you. This is a spiritual issue. and you need God's help. So I declare protection and blessing over you, that you will know who to go to, where to go, that the Holy Spirit will guide you, that you will be protected and blessed, and you will be healed in Jesus' name.
Yeah. And when you're saying it's a soul-based issue, you're saying you can't willpower your way out of this. You can't discipline yourself
into
it.
And that's what the dream was trying to do when he says, I pulled myself out of this. I pulled myself out.
But that's not the solution. We can't just will our way.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that's what the dreamer is doing at this point.
Right. And I think that's a really common scenario in the world. There's another self-help book. There's another. Yeah. And some of that stuff is good, but we have to be in alignment. And that means our spirit has to be fully connected to the Holy Spirit and be healthy and whole before we can
partner with them. Exactly. And the 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this person is, forcefulness of soul is trying to get themselves, and is getting themselves out of this bad situation in the dream, but they need a spiritual help. So they're very strong in their mind, their will, and their emotion, which is your soul.
Right.
So this is a smart person who can be very strong-willed and has strong emotions and is being led by that at this point. But that's not going to be the solution that's going to get them out of this bad situation spiritually. They need heaven's intervention into this.
Right. I'm also going to point out that isolation is just super dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
If there's, I mean, first we obviously need to get connected to the Lord, but the next thing I think we need for maturity is to have healthy community around us, healthy family, healthy community. And I just want to say to any of our listeners, this is something to go after. You find healthy community, whatever it takes, and emphasis on healthy, because who you're around will really predicate who you become like. So one of my life things is I never want to be the craziest person in the room. By that, I mean I want to be with people that are going harder for the Lord than I am, that their life for the kingdom first actually recalibrates mine to say like, that is normal.
Mm-hmm.
I can have more of God.
And what I encourage people to understand is these bad dreams, I mean, there is something ungodly. There's the reality of spiritual darkness is very real, and you have a spiritual enemy, but Jesus has overcome that enemy. And so it's not yours to figure out on your own. Jesus has overcome the enemy. And so partnering with him is your only solution, because he's overcome him.
Right.
I've got another weird one that kind of partners up with that one we just had.
Let's go for it.
This is the time of little weird dreams. With this person, there was an outbreak of some sort of zombie-type disease. So zombies. Mm. So what are zombies? They look alive, but they're really dead.
Yeah.
So there's a spiritual death disease going on. So most of the dream, I was out trying to get away from them. Then we stumbled across a big house. We were on the main floor, and for a while we were being chased. But I thought maybe the house gets higher. So I was checking and I found a stairway. We started climbing, and then each time we got to a new level, but we were found and we had to keep climbing different stairways, and I had to keep finding them and clearing it out before I went to the next level. I was on a level at one point and there were two women there. They were watching over a room. They opened the door, and there were two little zombies in there. Just before I woke up, I was at the top of the stairway. I was clearing it out again, and that was it. I guess what stood out to me in the dream that the zombies kept finding us and that I was ascending stairs. It was in color. My emotions were fear and frustration and confusion. It was well taken care of house with a wooden mansion with dark rich wood. And so again, this is a warning dream.
Yeah.
And so the dreamer is having the opportunity. They have struggled with this thing that is a spiritual issue that it looks like it's alive, but it's really dead. Mm-hmm. So the walking dead, people who have an appearance of being spiritual alive, but they're really dead. And that, again, it's a spiritual attack.
Yeah.
And this person's trying to do it on their own, trying to figure their way out on their own. And now what I want to tell people is, if you want to interact with the Lord while you're dreaming, if you feel like you can do that, it is a form of prayer, but make sure you're talking to the Lord. So I would say, Jesus, where are you in this dream? Where are you in this house? And what do you want me to know? And if you're talking to the Lord, it's prayer. You do not want to talk to you would not want to talk to the zombies, because then you're interacting with a spiritual zombie.
Right.
You know, you're heckling something
that's
ungodly.
Not where I go for advice usually.
Correct.
Not usually,
but go to the
zombies.
The Lord. Go to the Lord. And so, Jesus, where are you? But what I would say to this dreamer is, there is a spiritual issue in your life that of spiritual death and going through the emotions, but not being really spiritually alive. Mm-hmm. And you have done a good job. You're trying really hard. Again, you're working really hard at this, but it's not getting you where you need to go. And you are going to a higher level in the spirit because you're going upstairs. But this thing is still there. So you need to get rid of this issue. And only Jesus is going to be able to get rid of this issue. And so it's good that you're going to a higher level. It's good that this mansion has, it's a nice mansion. And it's well taken care of. And you're going from level to level. But the issue is still following you. You need to take care of the root issue.
Yeah.
So we just pray for this dreamer that they will get to the root of what the Lord is talking to them about. And get the cleansing and healing. So that they can continue to thrive and grow in things of the Spirit.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded that Jesus wasn't so happy with things that looked really good on the inside and weren't great things that looked good on the outside that were dead on the inside.
Yeah, what do you call those Pharisees?
Yeah, the brood of vipers, I think.
Yeah, and whitewashed
tombs. Whitewashed tombs, yeah.
Yeah, full of death. But a whitewashed tomb is a good description of a zombie.
Exactly.
So that issue of being kind of self-righteous and kind of religious,
yeah,
but really being dead inside is a zombie. Yeah.
And probably judgmental, mm-hmm. super critical, mm-hmm. But not actually having the love of the Lord and the spirit of the law in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like we talked about this earlier, but people are getting stuff brought up in these dreams in this season.
Yeah,
because we're quarantined to place, because we can't be around the church like the way we usually have, we can't worship in public like we usually do. All these things that usually refresh us are not available to us, and you still have to learn to worship the Lord where you are. I want to encourage our listeners to worship.
Yes.
Just worship. Put on some good worship music off of YouTube and just worship. And let the sound of worship be around you. It's important. So worship and prayer and praise and scripture are very important. And where we have depended on others to do that for us, we can't depend on others the way we used to. We have to just depend on the Lord, and we have to connect with Him ourselves instead of depending on other people to help us connect with the Lord.
Right.
And it's a challenge.
Yeah, it is a challenge. You know, I find that whenever I have a longer vacation or kind of a downtime in life where the busyness of stuff goes away, that's usually where stuff comes up to the surface that needs dealing with. And mm-hmm. here we have a corporate global season where the regular activities of life have halted and changed significantly. In the U.S., there's the entertainment and sports are gone. So that right there takes a ton of time in the average American schedule. So stuff is coming up to be dealt with. And it's good. It's of the Lord.
But when you partner with the Lord, you're going to get rid of it and you're going to be on to a better season.
It makes me so excited for what the church is going to look like and all this, because we're dealing with all these issues that have been there.
And are not fun.
And are not fun, but they've been covered up before.
Yeah. This is kind of a fun one. The initial dream is fuzzy, but I was driving in a car with a passenger. I think it was my daughter. We were having trouble parking or getting across a parking lot. But then my daughter and I met President Trump, and he chatted briefly with us. He was very friendly and down to earth with us. He asked Hannah to come work for him. I was going to tell him that she wouldn't be comfortable due to her introversion, but instead asked if I could work for him. He said it was probably too hard for a 45-year-old and that he wanted someone younger because of what was needed to be learned for the job. I knew he wasn't trying to flatter me about being 45, but I was actually, because I'm 56. I agreed that I was probably too old to learn the necessary skills. He tried to convince Hannah why she would be good for the job before he went inside for a meeting. I quietly told Hannah to ask for his autograph. All three of us went over to a vehicle near us. It was a big truck-like, heavy-duty, rusty brown color. And I grabbed a book that she was reading. Not sure what book it was, but I knew it was a classic, maybe a collectible book. It was a paperback, and the pages were a bit yellowed. I knew it was a novel. He wrote a few words inside the cover. I'm not sure what. And I couldn't see whether or not he actually signed his name at the end. There was a little piece of light blue tape or something stuck to the page where he had written. He tried to peel it off, but wasn't very careful and tore layers and corners off. We were a little bummed that he had torn her book, but decided that it wasn't a big deal since the president signed it. Interesting dream.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that dream.
So she said there was fairly normal color, but I felt like it was morning or early evening. The feeling was light. The word novel stuck out since this dream happened during the novel coronavirus pandemic. So in this dream, it's interesting because, you know, isn't it, this is a time when people are so politicized. And so if someone has Donald Trump show up in their dream, you know, it gets, people can start to argue about the minute you mention the name Donald
100%,
Trump.
100%. I thought that. I was like, oh, we're going to get some emails.
Right. And so if the Lord has Donald Trump show up in the dream, what is he talking about? And the Lord doesn't, care whether, I mean, politics are not the Lord's. That's a man-made thing.
Right.
Being a Democrat or Republican is a man-made thing. The Lord is about kingdom. You know, when Jesus was on this earth, his disciples kept thinking, well, you're going to save us from the Romans. When are we going to have this revolution that you're going to lead us in? And he had a revolution, but it was a spiritual revolution. It wasn't a political revolution, yet his disciples kept expecting a political revolution. And I see people doing that all over the place now where they want to make this a political issue where God's not all about politics. I mean, God wants us to have good leaders, and we need to pray. And as Christians, I want to tell everybody, if you're not voting, you're being irresponsible with a right that the Lord has given you. We live in a country where you have a vote. So as Christians, please vote and vote regarding issues. Don't vote for personalities. I mean, you're not voting for personalities. You're voting for what the Lord says to vote for. So please vote how the Lord directs you to vote. But that being said, this is not a political dream. So it's not about Donald Trump.
No.
This is about the man who holds the office that is the highest office in the land.
Right. It's about the authority.
So we're talking metaphor.
Yep.
So who is the highest level of authority? The Lord's talking about being, but they're talking with the Lord in this dream. Okay? So I want listeners just to not worry about who Donald Trump is or how they feel about Donald Trump, but he holds the office, the highest office, and that...
And you're not saying that Donald Trump is
well,
the
president,
you know, what you're, what
issue.
We're exactly, we're
so
not
don't
talking,
make, don't
we're
make
talking
it a political
about
dream.
The presidency and what would the presidency correct. Be so a the, metaphor of? It's of the highest position in
correct.
The land.
So this dreamer is having a discussion with the Lord and he's telling her something in the dream. So she's in a car, so she's with a passenger, her daughter. So her daughter represents the church, her daughter represents those who will follow her. And are being led by her and learning from her, but the next generation of believers. So it's not just about her family. So the Lord is talking to her in a big picture about listening to him for the next generation and helping the next generation along. That's really what this dream is about.
Right.
Okay, so, and she's not the one who's going to be able to do this thing. So the four is a number that represents the God's creation, the four, the north, south, east, and west, and the grace to do it. So the Lord is saying, you know the world and you have the grace for a lot of things, but you still are not the one to lead this next move of God. And so there is a move of God coming, and she's not real comfortable with the next generation because she knows they don't really know the Lord the way she knows the Lord. And the Lord's saying, doesn't matter. You're not the one to lead this next move of God. The next generation is. And that's really what that's about, and that she's the best one for the meeting. And then the three of them went to another vehicle. So the next generation and the Lord and this individual are going to this new vehicle, which is a better vehicle. They went from this little vehicle that they were in to a truck that's heavy duty and rusty brown color. And rusty brown represents humanity. So they're in a bigger heavy duty vehicle. So something that will move them forward in life. So this next move of God is going to be one that is heavier duty and is more capable of moving things than the one prior that she was moving in. And the book represents what the learning, what this next generation has learned is different than what she has learned. although it's a classic. It's a classic book. So it's classic stuff. So it's the word, but it's not going to come out the way the word would have come out to her generation. The new the next generation is going to have read it a little bit differently. And the Lord has a message for the next generation that this dreamer's generation, the 56-year-olds and so, can't understand because the next generation gets it. Okay? Because she couldn't read the message the Lord had to them. But she is called to bless it and to help it because she encouraged her daughter to keep going. So really, this is a prophetic dream, not just for her life, but for the next move of God. And so she's a prophetic intercessor that's being called to pray this in and to nurture the next generation, right, to hear from the Lord what they need to know from the Lord and to get in this next new vehicle that's going to be heavier duty. But the rusty brown is more of a, will appeal more to humanity than the message that the generation prior had. So it's really a good dream.
It's a great dream.
Yeah. So that leaves us with encouragement.
Yeah,
whereas
absolutely.
Some of the others were like, well, a little hard to listen to and a little dark.
Well, but maybe it's a little hard to hear that what the Lord is doing is for the generation to come. How do you address that? I mean, we've had a lot of intergenerational conversations.
It's not just for the generation to come because she got in the next vehicle. She was in the next move of God.
That's good. That's a good clarification.
She was not leading it because she couldn't do what needed to be done. So he's saying, yeah, this generation, the mothers and fathers my age, we aren't going to be able to lead this next move.
Actually, I think that's, I wonder if my mishearing isn't representative of how a lot of people hear something like that, is that they're not a part of it. They go on the shelf.
Yeah. Well, and people tend to want to discount the generation, my generation, like, okay, we're going to move on to the new thing. Yeah, you are, but you don't get to leave the generation before you behind if you want what all that God has. So the Lord is taking them to a bigger vehicle. It's more capable. It's more like a truck, and they were in a car. So think of the difference between a car and a truck. So you're getting an upgrade here, and it's more powerful, and it's a different color, so it's going to look different to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't get to read what the Lord is writing and telling the next generation to do. I just get to help nurture them into it so it happens. Come on.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's great.
Yeah. So we bless the dreamer. We thank you, Lord, for this dreamer and for the gift on her life to hear from you and to pray things into being. And we bless her as a mother in the spirit who will nurture many people in the next generation to operate in things of the Lord. And the next move of God, we say yes and amen, Lord. Do it with power. Do it with intensity. And do it for all of humanity. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. And, you know, I things don't have, the next generations don't come without mothers and fathers. Just in the natural, you need a mom and a dad to have a baby. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for the things of the Lord and for us to contain and do all that he has. Without mothers and fathers, it won't happen.
Right. It won't happen. And I'm happy. I just get to go along for the ride. It's awesome. And I get to encourage and I get to cheer on the next generation and all they're doing.
And probably you don't have to do some you don't have to fight some of the fights. You're like, you guys can go do that.
Yeah, I know it.
Fought a few.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, God fights the battle, right?
That's right.
I love that song. This is how I fight my battles. You worship.
Mm-hmm. Great. Let's do another one.
All right. So this is a short little dream. We were driving slowly in the car and I noticed a bird that was flying irregularly. Suddenly, it went upside down, and it fell quickly from the sky and landed at the side of the road in the grass. There was another bird that had already fallen injured from the sky in the same place. I ran to pick up the injured bird that I saw fall, thinking that I would take it to a wildlife rehab place. It flew off in fear, then, I assume, in its injured state, flew backwards right into my hands. I turned and ran to get the other bird. So that's an interesting dream. And she just said, it was muted in color. I was surprised and concerned, but inspired to take action. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it was muted in color is important because it tells her that she's getting kind of a distorted version of what God's trying to say. So some of what's it distorted by? It doesn't say, but it's distorted by either her soul or by some spiritual garbage or who knows.
Right.
But it's distorted a little bit. So she doesn't have the full truth. But what she does know here is that there are things that are in the spirit, little birds, little delicate things that are moving in things of the spirit that are flying a little irregular, that they've been wounded and they fall in the grass. And she goes to pick them up. Her intention is to help them, but she scares the bird. And the bird tries to fly away, but then flies backwards into her hands. So this dreamer has a call to be a person that brings healing to people in spiritual things, which is a wonderful call.
That's great, yeah.
Wonderful call. And she can tell what people's wounding is, but she doesn't always know how to approach them or what to do about it. And so that's probably part of the distortion. The Lord wants to help her with that. But even though people that she wants to help might run from her, they kind of will eventually come back to her. But I would encourage the dreamer then to partner with the Lord, ask the Lord, how do I get this more clearly and see it your way?
Right.
So I would encourage the dreamer to ask the Lord for the dream back. Like, Lord, would you give me the dream back and show me how you want this done? Mm-hmm. Or just sit in time of prayer and ask the Lord, okay, I want the clear picture of how you say this. So we bless that gift in the dreamer, the gift to help people who are learning to fly and learning to fly in what they're called to do, but also in things of the Spirit, because air represents the Holy Spirit, so something that's moving in the air. But they're little things. They're not great, big, powerful birds like eagles. They're these little birds, and they're hurt. So they've been hurt by things in church, in the world. They've been hurt. And she sees them. She sees their issues. So I just bless this dreamer to partner with the Lord then to bring the healing he has for these injured people, these injured individuals, that she will be wise and she will bring lots of increase in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's such a good word. And it's such a good reminder. All of these dreams are conversation pieces. It's an invitation to ask the Lord, okay, what, now what? It's not about, okay, so now I have this peace, I have to do something. It's now I have this revelation, this understanding. Lord, what do you want to do here? How do we partner? How do we go forward?
Right. So you're learning the language to talk with the Lord, and he doesn't want to just throw it on your lap and expect you to figure it out. Yeah, that can be very stressful.
Yes. Oh.
But he knows things we don't know.
And isn't it so great? We've got this ace up our sleeves all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Christy, would you pray for our dreamers?
Let's have you pray this time.
Oh, I'd love to pray for you. Yeah, I do that too. Yeah, well, Father, I thank you that your plans for us are wonderful, that you look on us with such great admiration and pleasure and joy, and you know all the things that you've created us for. So, Father, I bless the listeners, I bless everyone who will hear this, to walk further into what you have written out for them, Lord, that what you have created them for would be exactly how their life unfolds, God, that you would bring the right people into their life, the right situations, the right dreams to take them closer to you and to their destiny, Father. So we release all that you have in store, and we call that down over their lives now in Jesus' name.
Amen. And I want to encourage listeners to go to understandingyourdreams.com.
Nope.
.org.
Yep.
understandingyourdreams.org. And start to learn more about your own dreams. You'll grow. You will grow in your understanding of what God's saying to you in your dreams.
And the more you start, I find that the more I start investing time and energy in the natural there, the Lord unlocks stuff in the Spirit. So we bless you guys to dream and to dream more and send in your dreams. Go to dare2believe.info and send your dreams into us and we'll interpret them for you.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to our Dare to Believe podcast. When I challenge each one of our listeners to dare to believe God for greater things in your life this season.
Amen. And we'd also love it if you would subscribe, leave a review, and a 5-star rating, as well as share this with friends, colleagues, whoever would be encouraged by this message. Thank you so much, listeners.